Moikka! Welcome to Mastering Finland. This podcast shares stories of foreigners in Finland and provides practical tips and learning opportunities for all. Go ahead, join our community and enjoy listening to this episode. For more information, check our website masteringfinland.com. Hello, welcome to Mastering Finland. I'm back after a very long time, but we'll talk about it in the next episode. And right away, let's get to Eva. I would like to welcome Eva, who has been with Mastering Finland for a very long time right now. I think it's been almost 2 years, right, Eva? So welcome, and it's great to have you here and finally introduce you via episodes to all of our listeners. So let's start with the fact that tell us about how did you get to Finland, how long have you been here, and this sort of, you know, basic info on how that works.
Thank you, Petra. It's really nice to be here and see how in reality you do the podcast. So that's great. And yes, my name is Eva Valkovičová. I'm from Slovakia and I came to Finland in 2007. I came for work and being here now 15 years and being involved a little bit in the international community, I have to say it's really great that I came here already with the job, because it seems not to be so easy for other internationals to find the job. But yes, I came in 2007 in August. I landed directly to Helsinki with two suitcases and single and started to work here.
Wow. So it's been 15 years. That's a while already. So how can you see any changes that have happened during the time? Like, for example, when you came here 15 years ago, compared to how it works now in relation to internationals and the life as an international in Finland?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think there is a huge step forward in a way that before, or right now, let's say, it's much more international. I mean, during the 15 years, there is more international people coming to live in Finland. More English is being used, which in a way is good, in a way is bad, because it doesn't push us internationals to learn Finnish so well. And yet there is also like more international restaurants, more things being offered in English. But in general, also the city is transforming incredibly. I mean, I'm really always surprised how many things the city of Helsinki is building. Or in general, there are new quarters of living apartments being built, like in Jatkasaari. When I came, I still was there for a Madonna concert. So there was nothing before. Wow. And now there is a whole new quarter with many people living there. And it's really nice to see that the city is really transforming and it's being there for the inhabitants, let's say.
Yeah. So have you lived the whole time in Helsinki since you moved
here? Yes. Yes, I did. I'm a very city person. So very center always.
Yeah, I see. So you've been here 15 years, as we said, and I'm sure you've learned a bit about how to build a community in Finland. So are there any tips that you would have for somebody who is just moving here, who just moved here, or who have lived here for 7 years like me and still haven't managed to build a proper community, I feel sometimes? Because, you know, you might go to university, there are friends, then they leave the country, you might stay behind, you have a few friends left, but then, you know, start working, maybe like in my case, remotely, and then there is not like that much of an opportunity to build the community in that sense. So would you have any tips for people like me and the others who are still working on that?
Let's see. Well, I need to say that I work in an international organization. So as a bit you said, it's a little bit of a bubble, let's say. There is many internationals and many people coming and going and leaving, so you finally manage to make friends and then the person needs to leave because of whatever reasons. So yes, it's advisable to have like more different communities. So what I did personally, I started to play volleyball and I joined the volleyball club. And so let's say the sport hobbies are definitely one of a really good idea to every newcomer to try to join, because there you create the team And you manage to create nice relationships with the people. You become friends as well. Then other things, for example, there are really many different initiatives within Helsinki, definitely, but I would hope that also throughout Finland. There are organizations that make like even create events even for free where you can join. One of them, for example, is The Shortcut. It's mostly for people that would like to become entrepreneurs. However, there is really many things that they provide also for like a normal, regular person that has normal employment. And you can join the event and always you can find nice people.
Yeah. I think it's the thing that you have to be really proactive.
Definitely.
And that sometimes I think I struggle with, because sometimes I become this like, I just want to stay at home and watch movies and just, you know, sort of have this like a comfy life.
Especially in October and November. That is something like, And then it's really good if you have like a regular hobby where you say, okay, you're coming, because otherwise maybe even they cannot play without you, like me for volleyball. So it's really good. It really pushes you out of the house, even in a gloomy weather, and you don't feel
that's
like
the hardest
going.
Part, I think, in the whole like late autumn, beginning of winter thing, to push yourself to go out in that sense.
Indeed. And there is, I don't know if our listeners know, but there is a page even called Harrastushaku. So harrastus means a hobby, where you can really go and search for different hobbies and apply. And there are some also in English, like if somebody doesn't feel confident in their Finnish. So it's really nice.
Yeah, also maybe the ilmonet.fi, right, where you can have like courses.
Yes.
It's a bit of maybe different, but you can join like Finnish courses or art courses and stuff
Indeed.
Like that.
Indeed, I think you need to take really every possibility to try and mingle with people and go and get to know new people.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of that and what you have learned during your time in Finland, and you know, you're now wise of 15 years living here. So would you have any advice for yourself if you could pass on a message, you know, back in time to when you moved
when
here?
I came 15 years
exactly.
ago. Oh, all right.
What sort of advice would you give yourself?
Oh, there are many, I think. So, well, first of all, what I would really do and advise to every newcomer is to try to learn the spoken Finnish as a beginning.
Yeah.
And don't try to completely understand and learn all the grammar in Finnish. Just learn how do you say a sentence. And don't try to understand why you say it like that and which other case do you need to use in some other examples. So just like baby, like kids do.
Yeah.
You learn the sentences and then you try to use them. I think that would have really helped. Or then another thing is, I would advise to everyone to ask only open questions. When you meet a Finnish person, you only ask open questions, because the moment you ask a closed question, like we can try now with Petra, and Petra will try to be Finnish. So Petra, did you study in Helsinki?
No.
Where did you study?
In Jyväskylä.
Ah, where is Jyväskylä?
Middle of Finland.
Yeah, so this is how it goes. You need to be very persistent and you need to keep asking and asking and asking, and you feel like an interrogator in a way. So try with like open questions. Like, so Petra, have you studied in Helsinki and how did you like it?
Oh yeah, no, I have not studied in Helsinki. I did study in Jyväskylä, but it was really nice there.
Yeah. You see, it does work. It's just there is a different approach.
I agree.
It seems Finns don't really want to tell you more, or maybe they. I was told sometimes that they feel kind of like offended, or they would think that not offended. No, they would feel that you ask this question because you want to know this, and you don't want to know the everything else. So therefore, they are being polite and they're just answering to your question.
I think it's also about the how are you, or how are you doing, how is it going.
and with small dogs. Yeah, yes.
Which is like really weird. And I actually noticed it from my boyfriend, who actually this week complained that like, oh, he always, like my colleague always looks at me in a weird way when I say, how is it going? And it seems like he hates me. And the last time I asked somebody, how is it going, Fintua, they basically told me all about their like home issues, what has been happening, how has it been going. And basically they told me like their whole life whilst I just asked, how is it going? And my boyfriend is English. So, you know, there is like a very big culture difference in that sense. Which is really funny.
Indeed, yeah. The small talk here kind of does not exist. If you ask a question, you ask because you want to know, and therefore they answer.
I kind of like it, to be honest. It's mm-hmm. not like, I'm not a big fan of this like Englishness when everybody's like, when I go visit there, it's like, oh, how's it going? Are you all right? And they all the time check on you, but they don't really want to answer from you. So how do you even answer to that? I don't know. I still have not figured it out, to be honest. So here it's like, I kind of appreciate it that when somebody really asks you, they really want to know, and you are certain that they want to know, and it's not just some, you know, spoken thing that's happening mm-hmm. whilst they are not really keen on knowing.
That
anything.
Is very true. Yeah.
So that's a nice like a thing that
it's
you,
a nice feature.
Yeah, yeah
nice
yeah.
Finnish feature.
Yeah, in a way, yes,
indeed.
Do you have anything else on the list of tips?
I am. One advice to everyone and to myself when I came 15 years ago, but I learned that quite fast indeed, that summer means when it's 20 degrees and it's sunny. That's summer. You don't wait for being more degrees or I don't know what, more sunny. So whenever it's 20 degrees and sunny, you take all your stuff, you go to the beach, you lay down on the sand and you wait. And when you're warm enough, you go, you dip into the sea for a few seconds, then you go up and you warm yourself again on the sand.
That is true, yeah. But at the same time, I think now it's been changing. All the climate change has like pushed the temperature so high.
It's true. Now nowadays, the summer is really, can even go to up to 30 degrees.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
Then...
And the sea is really warm. Mm-hmm. Like you can actually like not die of cold once coming into. So that's a pleasant thing for
that's
all of us.
That's a pleasant change also over the 15 years. Yeah. Of course, maybe not so good for the planet, but good for Finland, indeed. And then another thing is that, the rule is a rule. So here in Finland, if there is a rule, that's a rule and you cannot go left or right, which I really like in a way, because that really brings the nice... The fact that everything works well in Finland, while sometimes especially for the foreigners, it's a little bit like, come on, a little bit, sometimes a little bit left or right, there must be a way. A
little bit space around. Yeah, I also think that sometimes it sort of feels like inhuman. Like, you know, there is an issue that happened to you. It was an accident. You didn't know. But then there is the rule and they're not going to go around the rule. It's your fault, even though you didn't know. But then... Sometimes I feel like a bit of empathy, people, and that's maybe the problem in that situation. But I also like the rules.
Yes.
So, like, I see the both sides in that sense that, okay, there is not the space for this, like, empathy in a way that you could sort of feel that maybe they cannot, like, relate to what happened to you. But at the same time, I also get that the rules are rules and I like it. I cannot complain about it. And it makes, like, a very structure... Nice structure to the society and everything works, as you said.
That is very true. But just like one example that I have is also that it's like sometimes the rule, let's say, really makes no sense. Or let's say you are really astonished by it. So, for example, we were going with the train to Turku Archipelago, which is really super nice, to go with the bikes. So we were booking the spaces for the bikes because there are specific racks where you can hang the bike and you need to pay for it something. Okay, we had a small child, so we had this bike trailer. And so when we were buying the tickets, we said, okay, we also have the bike trailer. So do we like need to book a ticket for that as well? And then the lady at the kassa said, she checked the rules, bike trailers cannot go on the train. And then we are like, why can they not go on the train? Okay, there's no specific space and no, I don't see it here. No, you cannot go with the bike trailer on the train. And then we were there like, come on, but you can go with the pram. Yeah. With the pram, you even don't, like, sometimes pay the public transport within the city. So why can't you go with this? It's like a pram. And then she was like, it's a pram. And we said, yes, basically, it's a pram. Okay, then you can go. And then we were just like, come on, so about funny. Half an hour of a discussion about, and then us being in panic, like, okay, what do we do now? So we, how do we carry the baby so we cannot go, blah, blah. Yeah. So just like, you know, this little bit of like extra thinking to be done for you as a foreigner, because you don't know. And that's another thing here. You need to ask a correct question because they have this habit answering only to what you're asking, but they don't think for, what do you mean by that question?
It's really annoying though, especially in customer service, because that's like whole different, it should be sort of separated from the culture. And like if you do customer service, and it's funny because now I joined the company and I work in customer service, so that's like something I can tell in that sense. But it really annoys me because obviously you should be trying to help the person as much as you can, and even beyond what they're asking you, and give them tips and whatever, you know. But here it doesn't work like that, and it's really frustrating sometimes because I understand that it's a culture feature, but customer service should be sort of detached from it. And it does not happen in Finland.
And just a little bit of the extra thinking would be really good. Like another example, a foreigner in the tram asking the driver, do you stop at the train station? He says, no. And then me sitting next to it, telling him, yes, you can get into the tram. Don't worry. It stops at Lassi Palazzi. But then you just walk 2 minutes and you are at the train station.
I mean, exactly. That's a good description of things. It's funny, but you get used to it. So you then predict these sort of things and as you said, you learn to ask more and you're able to get to the answer. But you have to sort of, it's a learned skill, I think, for international.
So for any newcomer, this is a tip. Yeah. Number one, please be prepared. When you want to ask something, try to ask in different ways or more questions. Or what I now sometimes do is that I ask the person, is there anything else I need to know?
That's a very good tip. And I think that should apply for everything that you're dealing with, Kela and Migri and all these offices. Everything. Because despite the fact that they should be helping you as a foreigner, they're still going to mostly apply this sort of feature of culture into it. So that is a very good question to ask at the end of whatever issue you're sort of trying to sort with that person. Definitely. That is a good one. Yeah. So you already mentioned a kid. Well, now you have two kids, right?
Yes.
Am I correct? So they're bilingual. Is that the right thing?
They are actually four-lingual.
Oh my God. Okay. So tell me about languages.
Yeah. Languages is a big thing, you know, in our family, because I came to Finland 15 years ago, single. So then I thought, very good. I mean, if something happens, I could get a Finnish boyfriend and then I would learn Finnish, because that would be like the impulse.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. I met an Italian guy. So I married an Italian guy and we have two kids. So then my other thing was, okay, I'm going to learn Finnish together with the kids. When they go to the daycare and you know you have to, that also did not work out so well. However, the kids, they speak Finnish. They speak Slovak because I'm from Slovakia, Italian because of my husband. And then they speak English
as well. Of course,
English is a language, it seems, that it really takes all the other languages and English like raises up. It seems to be rather easy for the kids to learn. And then I need to say it's also because me and my husband, we speak English together.
Yeah.
So the kids have are always listening to it. Okay, YouTube is of course one thing that they learn like sponges everything. They speak four languages. It's a bit funny in a way, yes, because when they were smaller, they were really speaking, like differentiating to me speaking Slovak, to my husband Italian. In between, they spoke Slovak at the very beginning.
Okay.
Then they switched to Finnish somehow, when they were already going to the Finnish daycare. Or actually, it was even more funnier. They spoke Finnish when they were playing games that they normally play in the daycare.
Ah, yeah.
And then they would speak different languages in different situations. Now they speak English to each other, and now even to us.
Really?
And then you're like, "Ma, come on, we live in Finland. I maybe talk Finnish to us, no? So that we learn." Yeah. But okay, they know that we are not there at their level. So obviously they don't do it yet. So somehow they chose English as the family language.
That's really interesting how that becomes. I guess that when you have international couples and none of the a person is able to in a way fully learn the other language, then it becomes like English is the thing, and then it just sort of overtakes.
Yeah, I was just really surprised because, of course, I know that this happens, but it normally happens to families then living in England or US.
Yeah.
So I never thought that would happen in our family. And we are very persistent. We keep using our languages. So, That's good. Of course, they speak it, but they chose the easier way. And, of course, English is the easiest because everybody understands. You don't need to repeat things more often. Yeah. But with Finnish, I think they're doing quite well. They, at least the reports from schools are fine. It's a bit more funny than for us parents, not completely understanding Finnish. So very, very, of course, often use the translate options. And that can be rather funny, especially when the translator translates the names of the people or you really see that the sentence makes no sense. And then I go to the original, I read it in Finnish, I understand it better than with the translator.
This is so they go to Finnish school.
They go to Finnish school. Yes, we did not want them to be in a bubble in a way.
That's good, I think.
Because they go to a local school close to us, so they have a bit more contact with the people, with the kids living in the neighborhood. And definitely we think that, well, Finnish is not a language that you learn as a hobby or, well, some people manage. No. Some people, they are very, they manage. But Finnish, I think it's a difficult language. And that's why I think it's really good that they are in the Finnish schools. They like it a lot.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, I don't have kids, but when I thought about that, if I ever have kid, I would be so worried that it becomes like a Finnish kid, like fully Finnish kid. And I will not be able to have the culture part of my own country. How is
don't
it for
worry,
you?
Petra, no. That will not happen. No. Well, at least in our example, the Slovak and the Italian is always there. Like we were, for example, in the daycare, very often told that everything is great. They are great kids. They are empathetic and so on. But they're just a bit loud.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
And we should try, at home to practice that you are eating, you're quiet. And we're like, all right, but it's a bit outside of our normal culture. So
that makes sense. But you also go to visit, right, Slovakia and Italy.
Yes. Basically. We try to go. And of course, we have contacts with the grandparents in both countries. And so they are in contact with their own languages. And I have to say, it's really, really nice, this experience of this multilingualism, because there are many situations that you hear a word, and then, of course, the word means something very bad in the other language. Yeah. So, of course, I mean, there's this excitement. Yeah, say, oh, my God. Like the most famous one is, then all the Italians listening to the podcast will say, oh, my God, that's an old one. But in Finnish, you say cazzo, look, right?
Yeah.
In Italian, that means something very bad.
Really?
Yes. So therefore, obviously, then when our kids go to Italy, of course, to their cousins, they teach all these words. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know how to say look in Finnish? You say yes. And then there are really many words that you can you always recognize and you say, oh my God, but this means something really different in the other language. That's nice.
Yeah, that was
I would really recommend everyone really. So the recommendation, for example, is that whenever, of course, you have your own kids, definitely talk your mother tongue to your child. it's very empowering. It really brings the culture in it, as you were, for example, saying you were afraid. And what is even more funnier is they really even behave differently. They change the intonation. When they speak Finnish, they have this Finnish voice. And then you kind of almost don't realize that, oh my God, that's you. Because then when they switch to Slovak or to Italian, of course, they really use the intonations and so on.
I was just thinking about it because my example is a bit different, right? I've been consumed by English because my boyfriend is English. I speak to my animals in English. Everything's happening in English. I barely speak my language, to be honest.
You should speak Czech to your animals.
I know, but they look so weird at me. Like, you would not believe how weird they look. They're like, what happened to your mom? I'm not sure. Are you okay? Seeing you in this face. And I feel that maybe like our dog understands way more Finnish because I speak Finnish outside with the people when we meet. Mm-hmm. So like Finnish and English is basically two languages, and then Czech is somewhere dumped like in the corner.
Petra, when you have a child, definitely Czech must be there.
Yeah.
It really brings a lot. And there, this myth that it mixes up the mind of the children or something, that's not true.
Yeah, I don't think so too.
They manage really well.
Yeah,
definitely. And then it's up to them to decide.
Yeah, like your kids. Yeah, definitely. So, and as a last question, more like we talk about it. So basically, you joined Mastering Finland almost 2 years ago, which is crazy. Working for 3 years, more than 3 years now. So that is just unbelievable for me that it's still going on, and it's thanks to you. Big thanks to you, and big thanks to Matt, who you've been like very much supportive in sort of keeping it alive in the past months especially. But just to quickly sort of talk about why did you decide to join Mastering Finland, and what do you do behind the scenes of Mastering Finland? Because you do loads, but maybe like people don't know about it, and I would want them to know about it.
That's true. I don't make myself so visible in the social media. So
should be.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the rules as well. So I joined Mastering Finland because Petra has once, because I was following them somehow on the social media. I saw Mastering Finland podcast and I listened to a few episodes, and then suddenly I saw this call that Petra said. So I decided to go for it, mostly because I had an idea of my own. But I never really managed to put it in place like you did. So my idea was, it still kind of exists. I even created a website for it, and I have a Facebook and another page. It's called the Reflections of Helsinki. So I wanted to write about my reflections of living in Helsinki. Mm-hmm. And how it is to live here. And like, for example, the thing I said that, okay, it's 20 degrees, that means it's summer, and like kind of articles or something. So when I saw Mastering Finland, I'm like, oh my, come on, that's really like matching, because it's exactly, but it's about the tips for foreigners and experiences. I actually need to say it's also tips for Finns themselves, because it's really, I think, really good also for Finns to know, okay, how are we seeing all these things?
Yeah.
Because it's like two different angles. So I decided to go for it. And I did take a social media course, which was online during the pandemic, because then, of course, I couldn't go to play volleyball. You couldn't hardly go out of the house, so I needed to do something. And so I took this online course of social media marketing. So then I thought, I just finished more or less the courses, and I said, okay, perfect. So I tried to be Mastering Finland. So I'm glad that you took me. And so my role in Mastering Finland is the social media management. So I try to create a post, I try to create stories. I should try a little bit more to also write some articles and blogs. That could be, I think, helpful. And I follow the followers.
I think Eva is still being fair. You are not saying the full truth. I mean, yes, that's what you are doing, but I think you're keeping the spirit alive, which I was not able to do in the past few months. And I think that's so important, because I was the one who, you know, started it and then kept the spirit alive. But then because of different things that we're going to talk about in the next episode, it's just went down, and I'm so grateful that you, you know, kept the mastery.
Exactly. Well, that is true. Alive. Yeah, yeah. When you told me, like, shall we quit or what? And I said, no way, we are quitting. We continue. This is a nice thing to do. And I think it's also very, I hope it's very useful also for people and for foreigners living in Finland and even for the Finns themselves, as we said. So no, I'm really happy.
Yeah, it's really great. And obviously, big thanks to Matt as well, who've been recording so many episodes in a row. And
by now, we even have more. We have another Matti that is helping us. Then we have Iliana that helps a little bit with the post. So it's good that we are growing.
It's a family. Mm-hmm. It's a family growing. We are not in touch as much as families probably are. We should be more. But it's great. And I'm so grateful that there are many of you who want to keep this alive and are willing to work in your free time to do that.
Yeah, we believe in it.
Yeah, that's so nice. Okay, well, last thing is, do you have any tips for traveling around Helsinki? Let's say three tips to where would you recommend to go?
Definitely.
Or not even Helsinki, let's say Finland.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely I have. Because Finland is a very nice country, so there are many places where you can go. It also is, let's say, a little bit boring at times because it's also true that you come to a place and you say, but this looks a little bit similar to the other place that we were last time, and there is a co-market and an arkioski and nice nature but no, there are many nice places. So my tip outside of Helsinki is a small city called Porvo, which I think has really super nice atmosphere. It has the old wooden houses next to the river, a little shops with handmade things. So definitely, I think Porvo is the city or is the town that you need to go to visit. And you get there by bus, 50 minutes.
Yeah,
perfect.
It's very quick.
Then I love skiing. When I say skiing, I mean downhill skiing.
That's a good to specify in Finland.
So my favorite place for the winter is called Mesila. It's near Lahti. Mm-hmm. And it's a place so where there are real slopes, meaning there are more lifts.
Okay,
and you can really ski, not longer, but it's like really more ski lifts. And there are different, like a buffet or restaurant. Then really beautiful that what they do here in Finland, that's really great. I'm not seeing it anywhere else, is that they have grilling places. So you really have the fire. You can come and grill your own makkaras, which ketchup, that is the thing to do, obviously, here in Finland. And you have a beautiful view towards a lake. You really have the feeling that you are in the mountains and you even have a view. They really have good skiing tracks, and you can also cross-country ski.
Oh, nice.
So that's really good. Of course, they have the skiing rental, and the cross-country skis you can do in the forest or also when the lake is frozen, which it is almost every winter, then you can go on the lake to cross-country ski.
Yeah.
So definitely one thing to go. And then in Helsinki, I just recently actually found this kind of a hidden gem for myself. And it's in the Helsinki Yliopisto Library, which as such is really beautiful. They have these nice, interesting floors. And on the seventh floor, there is a terrace. And from the terrace, you have a really nice view towards the White Church.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I didn't know about that one as well.
I recently read online, though, that maybe they closed the terrace for the winter. So if somebody is listening right now, please go in the summer months, or let's say from March to October.
Yeah.
But
that's a good tip. Yeah, I didn't know about that. That's a very nice one. Okay, thank you so much, Eva. It was really great to talk to you. I think we could talk for another 3 hours.
We definitely could. We promise that we will have the next episode with you, Petra.
Yes.
And Petra asked me if I would feel like going on a little bit behind my my scene and try to do the podcast myself. So the next one we will try. I will be interviewing Petra.
So yeah, look forward to it and mm-hmm. see you then. Okay, good. Bye.
Ciao, ciao. Moi, moi.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers. For more information, follow our Instagram at mastering.finland.podcast, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and keep an eye on our website masteringfinland.com. Have a nice day, and good luck with your own Mastering Finland story. Bye!